Hi, friends.
Oh, welcome to That Which Doesn't Kill You. I didn't know I was going to be starting. This is That Which Doesn't Kill You. Today we're talking about Barbarian.
Overall thoughts, I liked it.
I liked it too, despite my push against
your hesitations.
I fought it.
You really did. On this podcast, no less, we discussed it.
And I was like, I'll never see it.
So proud of you. I'm so happy that the fates decided this was in my best interest that you see this.
Fates being Dallas. Thanks, Dallas.
Yes, thank you, Dallas.
I don't regret seeing it.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was good.
I covered my eyes at the parts I didn't want to see. So
that's fair.
I'm the winner.
I still want some kind of rating system, but for now we're just going to stick to yuck and yum. It was a yum for me. No, not after the milk titties.
Oh, you yummed that.
I accidentally did not think that ahead of time. Overall, basic plot of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Woman go Airbnb. Airbnb go bad.
What a brilliant way to sum that up.
Thank you.
That is beautiful.
I'm gonna open this up real quick.
We
keep talking about movies on here, and I keep forgetting the names of like crucial characters, such as everybody.
I don't remember
Tess Marshall, woman staying in Detroit for a job interview.
Mm-hmm.
We're still in on our initiation for the episode, so okay. I'm not gonna go too far into it because I think you're talking at some point about you were gonna talk about Tess, right?
Yes. So it's just going to be. You know, for those who don't know what the movie is about.
Yeah. Job interview, Airbnb, creepy people. Watch it and then come back here because we're going to spoil some things.
Yes. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Milk titties
will make so much sense to you.
So much. Unfortunately, it will make so much sense to you.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
No, you're not. You're not sorry.
I'm
sorry to me.
Is that what was that the thing that you had spoiled for yourself ahead of time that you didn't want to see?
Yeah, I didn't want to see that.
See, I didn't know what details specific because I didn't deep dive the way that you did into preventing anything. So I was like, I want to go in completely blind to this one.
Yeah, you didn't want me to tell you because you were going to watch it at some point anyway, which is fine. Yeah.
So it worked out that Dallas was like, watch this. Yeah. I was like, yes.
And I even tried to put a different movie in there and be like, what about Plan B? I got shot down.
Like, that's nice.
I know. Yeah. I got dismissed. I'm just like, mm-hmm. Fine. I think I feel braver when I'm surrounded by my friends watching a movie. Yeah. So even when we watched as many movies as we watched in our group, like The Evil Dead and just a bunch of things that I would not normally watch on my own.
Yeah,
I think that was probably best case scenario for me to watch that movie.
Never watch that on your own.
No, alone. Not
even
on my
virtually,
own.
Virtually, I don't think I could have gotten you to watch it necessarily.
No.
It would have been harder. The success rate would have been smaller.
Yes.
having everyone physically in a space, I think, made you a lot
forcing. Yes,
forcing it upon you.
So I could use everyone as my shield.
Right.
So.
All right. So we're about 5 minutes in. So let's go ahead, take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll start discussing our incantations of the episode.
Yes. We're going to break it down.
Format that we have. We're trying to find some organization for these episodes.
Yes. So we're going to make it happen.
We're going to make it happen, Captain. And we're back.
Welcome.
Here we are.
Welcome
back. For my first incantation for the week.
Mm-hmm.
I want to discuss Airbnbs and some fun crime statistics revolving around them because this movie obviously is very central, not only on it being an Airbnb, but one of the big shockers at the beginning of the movie is that she arrives in the middle of the night when it's raining. So she doesn't have a lot of visibility. Yes, she
it's
doesn't
very really know dark.
What's happening. It's very dark.
It's raining.
It's raining. Mm-hmm. Can't see anything.
Yeah.
But when she wakes up that following morning and she realizes it's Detroit, it's basically an abandoned suburb.
Yes.
Which adds to kind of the creepy factor of everything. Yeah. I originally wanted to kind of touch on Detroit and just kind of everything that's happened, the decline of that city. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a little unfair, especially because there's so many people trying to revitalize the city.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily want to talk about Detroit specifically, but I did find it interesting. Some studies have come out that says Airbnb prevalency raises violent crime rates in cities because it pushes out long-term residents. So all these companies and people are buying up all this property in order to make Airbnbs, which is pushing actual residents out, and it's ends up increasing crime rates, which I found really interesting.
Well, because Airbnbs, you know, like this was a very modern horror story.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like Airbnbs are, you know, a new thing.
Yeah.
We've all used them. Yeah, well, for the most part,
like The Shining or something that's set in like a resort or a hotel or,
yeah,
you know,
it's like that some place is not your home.
Yeah.
You're not familiar with it.
Yeah. How many?
You don't know what many, it's
like,
capable of.
Are there horror movies about like couch surfing? I feel like there's got to be somewhere out there.
Just super real world horror.
Right.
Things that can happen.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be a horror movie about like Ring videos, like from The Ring.
Yeah. I mean,
I know that would be your
I'll vomit all over.
That's your that's your barbarian movie.
Honestly,
be like, we have to watch that. Like,
no.
No. They're coming.
You guys are gonna have to force me into it.
I really liked that you know, it was something that's like, oh, that could happen.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's the interesting thing about the movie is that the first quarter of the movie is about Tess and what's his name? God damn it.
Skarsgård.
Keith. Tess and Keith having double booked an Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And initially it just feels like almost like a thriller, like slasher. Like, is this guy a killer? Is he gonna like attack her? Like, what kind of stuff are we dealing with here? And then it turns out to be a completely different story, a different horror altogether.
Yes. Well, that goes into my incantation of,
yes,
hot guy being sus, spoiler alert, turns out to be innocent, which I don't know if it was because his characters have been villains before, but I was just like, I don't trust him.
Yeah. Oh, they definitely played into that. They were like, you know, this guy.
Yeah.
You know it. You know him. You know them. You know.
He was. It was just very. And I know. And now looking back on it, yes, I know they did it on purpose. But when they heard something in the when Tess freaked out because she heard something in the hall, and you're just like, well, you know, like, I gotta go see it myself. I'm just like, the fuck you do.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There is definitely like no, fuck you. You're trying, you're trapping her.
Yeah. Like, you're trying to lure me in there. And I'm just like, oh, it's because you've got like, you know, brave guy energy. It's just like, nothing could hurt me. Yes, the fuck it can.
Yeah. And I think they definitely played that up really well. I think going into it, having seen like the trailer and knowing about like the underground hallway, I was kind of like expecting him not to be a part of like the villainy, just because I was like, they're playing with your expectations, and we kind of have like a hint of what's to come. But I had no idea we were going to get what it actually ended up being.
Well, I think I was so I was so sure that he was involved because I wasn't, I thought the plot twist was what I had already read, the part that I didn't want to see.
So you thought he was like,
I was just like, he gets her down. Her. Yeah. I was like, he gets her and that other dude down there and it's his fault.
Yeah. Like just he's like her like brother or something.
Somehow you came out like this.
You're really right.
But yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah.
Very, very sad. He got his head caved in.
Yeah. Well, speaking of her, that brings me to my next incantation. I love the incantation so much.
Yeah, we're definitely doing
this every episode.
This is very, so smooth.
My next incantation is regarding feral children, because the central character is not Tess. In fact, it all revolves around the mother,
who's the villainess,
the feral villainess who just wants a child to take care of. Because she is the trapped, what do they call it? Like, it, not incarcerated, confined.
Confined.
All right. This is much like the dangers of Airbnbs. The raised in confinement feral child is very much something that has happened in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
As are inbred hillbillies and such. It's
real life horror.
Combining it in this kind of like twisting it into this new narrative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a horror movie. So you kind of have to expect there's going to be some level of like, well, it's kind of disrespectful to people who go through real life trauma. But you kind of,
it was a shock factor.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Not everyone who's raised in confinement, you know, they're not going to turn into like a Wendigo, which is essentially what is happening in this movie.
Well, she was down there for so long. Even the flashlight should have like burned her corneas.
Yeah.
And she looked straight at the light and was like,
bitch. Well, and
I was like, excuse me, unrealistic.
So, I mean, the overall theory is that her serial killer father has abducted and raped and bred so many women to this point and then interbred. And there's been so many kind of generations of this that she ends up being almost subhuman.
Yeah. Turned her into a creature, which I don't know how.
But if the movie's flashbacks are to the 60s.
Yeah. How many generations is that supposed to be? Like
right.
One or two?
Because I mean, if the youngest, you're probably looking at like 12, which I could see him doing because he's an asshole.
Yes.
But even that, if you're expecting every generation to be 12.
Yeah, I was just like, okay, so he gets a 12-year-old pregnant, a 12-year-old has a kid, he makes a kid with them, or somebody makes a kid with
them. You can only have so many generations.
Yeah.
Between now and, she, and 4 years ago. Well,
she seemed adult.
60 years now. The 60s were 60 years ago. I'm having an existential crisis right now on our podcast.
More.
I mean, 62.
So.
So
she.
You could have maybe 4 or 5 generations.
Well, how does it? How does inbreeding give you super strength?
Yeah, that I can't answer. I also can't answer like how. How is she eating? I guess like rodents. So like, how is she getting the protein to build muscle to be super strong?
She was strong as hell.
Yeah. And I mean, they did mention that she would go out into the world.
She could go out at night.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, yeah. Yeah.
We'll save for later because that's one of my next incantations is that. So your next one
is,
Hawkeye number two.
Yeah. Who was, I mean, as a horror in and of itself. So
you've called it Jason Long character. Shake my head. That's your next incantation.
Yes. I shake my head at his character. So we find out that the person that owns that Airbnb, we found out what his story is and to the point where why he ends up at the building.
Yeah.
So he was an actor who had a scandal. he's losing money, he's losing sponsorships, everything. And so he ends up having to look into selling his properties.
Yeah.
Which is one of the houses.
So when they first, when he's first shown, mm-hmm. probably a good, what, like third of the way into the movie? Maybe less. But around that point, when they cut away, I think we all pretty much were like, oh, this is that West, like, this is like Tessa's, was that, I don't know all these names. This is like her boyfriend that was texting her earlier in the movie. Kind of assumed that this is a character we've already been introduced to.
Yes.
Did not even think for a second it was going to be anything related to the house. So I was so like, and I think that was part of the point, was like them being like, let's throw another wrench into this movie. You have no idea what's going on.
And it was a very jarring breakaway because it happened right after Keith's head got caved in.
It went from being in an underground hallway in Detroit to like
the beach driving near.
Yeah. Like completely in different, a convertible, which was, I think, really, really like a good idea. Like,
yeah, I think we were all very like, whoa. Yeah, I liked, and just his storyline up until he gets to the house, you know,
woe is me. Like, I can't believe she would say that about me.
And we find out that he actually did do something. And so we don't feel very sorry for this guy.
No.
To say the least. It was just so, I was like, he's so disgusting. Yeah. I just hope something bad happens.
And throughout the movie, they kind of like paint him as trying to like be better.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he's only trying to be better. So he feels better about himself being a horrible person.
But he ends up finding like the dad in the tunnels and finds out what the dad has been doing. And he's like, this is disgusting. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm like, okay,
you
hot meat kettle.
Yeah, you. And like, if anything, it was just like, this is someone who probably understands you more than anyone else because, you know, they are a monster and so are you.
Yeah.
So I thought it was again, it was just very jarring, like his storyline coming out of nowhere after what we had already established in the movie. I was like, damn, man.
Yeah. Well, and it's really interesting. They kind of do that throughout the movie. Like the same thing with like the dad who's like the serial killer rapist dad.
Yeah.
They kind of cut back. It's not as long as the other portion.
Yeah.
Of it, but they do the same kind of thing where they like introduce him by doing basically an extended flashback.
Yeah.
But it's another thing where they're changing the main narrative, you know, the main protagonist of the movie is switching for an section of it.
Which is it can be very difficult to follow when you have a lot of like flashback stuff. Yeah. But I think for the most part, we all understood what was going on.
I think it did pretty good. I think it's risky to change your protagonist several times throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, we go back to Tessa and we're kind of going back and forth. And that's when they all kind of run up against each other. My last incantation for this episode was homeless guy was a Chad actually. So when this is another one of those things of them just kind of like playing with expectations and characters, especially the male characters.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I won't say especially, I mean, of all the characters, I would say the mother was a big kind of switch up. Like she was still evil at the heart of things, but she was doing it for maternal reasons. So I don't know if I would consider her necessarily evil as far as misguided.
Yeah, I was going to say like she's a product of what happened to her.
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider her evil.
Yeah. She just doesn't know better. And so one of those examples too is like the homeless guy who has a name, I'm sure, and I'm so sorry.
Homeless man, did he?
James Butler? Are you James Butler? Excuse me, James? James Butler. Okay. I knew that. James Butler is Andre. Sorry that I've been calling you homeless guy. My bad. So he is first introduced when we're kind of at the height of like Tess's anxieties. Mm-hmm. And she's just kind of starting to realize things are going are so off and weird. And he kind of he's like approaching her, like running across
really
the street
aggressively.
Yeah. And he's like calling her like young girl or whatever. Like mm-hmm. he's definitely like not the way to get your point across, my friend.
No.
Like there are better ways to do this. But it turns out he's like the most moral positive character aside from Tess in the entire movie.
Yes.
So, and it just got, you know, and he's kind of our exposition dump, which I felt kind of bad because a main point of his existence is to explain everything that some of the stuff I'm like, well, how would he know that she's been, they've been crossbreeding and everything for generations? How would he know that?
Yeah.
No one told him. So he's just assuming that unless he knows about generations of similar ones before her. It just seemed like that was kind of a like, let's explain everything so we can get to the finale of the movie.
Like we're putting this plot device as this man that knows everything.
Yeah.
And we're not going to explain why.
Yeah. There is this meme that was on Twitter. Someone was like, the mother did nothing wrong, actually. And then I think I shared it to the group chat and Dallas was like, well, what about, you know, the Keith? And I was like, well, he was trespassing. So, I mean, stand your ground. It's fine. But killing Andre, that was probably the one thing where I was like, well, he didn't do nothing to you.
Didn't she like rip his arm off or something?
Like his like entire face, right? Didn't she like rip his face in half?
No, that was
that someone else?
That was
Keith
Long's character.
Long. Oh,
she like ripped his face.
Yes, I think she ripped
his arm off.
Yes.
But it was just like, come on, man.
Rude. Leave that man alone.
Now you're doing bad things. Back to the reason why I didn't want to watch this.
Your next incantation is
upset at milk titty. So there is a scene in the movie. People called it like the bottle scene or something because it started with that. So what's Jason Long's character's name? What is it?
AJ Kilbride.
AJ. Whoa. So AJ ends up in.
Apparently he's a sitcom actor. I didn't pick up on that. It was a sitcom. Sorry, I'm not related to Milk
maybe. he ends up in the whole prison where Tess is, and the mother tries to feed them. Tess is in survival mode. She's like, give me that milk. Yeah, she drank it. AJ did not want to.
Yeah,
she ended up dragging him away.
Interesting that he can force his bodily fluids on women, but how dare a woman force her bodily fluids on him?
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
It's very like, you know what? You want to suck some titties? How about against your will?
Mm-hmm.
How about some nasty ass ones?
Very interesting. I just had that.
That's
moment.
A good point.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I think if I would have read it within that context, I would have been like, yes, good. But instead, I was just like, I don't want to see
this
her.
This poor innocent soul. No,
he didn't want to drink. He wasn't hungry. We keep on seeing that she has like a room where it was a video playing where it shows like how to breastfeed.
Yeah. And they were
and so
very
she takes him over there.
Ugh. Kind of covering all five senses. Like they like the character's like, oh, my God, it smells like horrible in here.
Yeah.
And then you're just kind of like, well, it looks like a nest, like it looks gross. But then once she starts like cradling and feeding him, it definitely is like, oh, my God, how much just like unwashed body fluids are just.
Oh, yeah.
Just drying and cracking on those.
It was very viscerally gross.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of body horror.
Yeah.
That's been established.
You like unrealistic body horror.
Yes.
Not.
I want people turning into an alien. Not, like her body was a horror and she was feeding that crusty ass titty to that rapist. And, you know, that's something I decided for myself that I did not want to see.
And yet.
I covered my eyes a little bit.
I'm really proud of you.
But that was one of the reasons why I didn't want to see it. I guess let's just both talk about Tess real quick.
Okay.
Just
our last incantation.
Our last incantation. Tess was in a situation like she was doing the best she could. Yeah. Girl went down there for an interview, interviewed and had a healthy amount of suspicion with things.
Yes.
And her survival mode was on point. And she even tried to go to the police and did everything she could.
That was pretty powerful too, especially when you think of Detroit and everything going on. And then you like these cops just being complete assholes.
And then that was such a frustrating. Like, yeah, that she was like, that was, and especially with the way she looked, because she ended up escaping and was she'd like, you don't understand what I'm telling you. And the horror of that you went through that and you're trying to go to
trying to do the right thing,
who you're supposed to go to that is going to save you is horrifying.
Horrifying.
That was probably one of the more upsetting parts was that she did everything she could. Yeah. And she even like you said, like tried to save his life. And you know, like she still managed to keep her humanity.
Yes. And it was very powerful because a lot of times you get narratives like we can't go to the police. Nobody will believe us. And then someone's just like, you're right. They won't. And then they move on and they go slay the thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But to actually see that process being taken out and to see them being not only like labeled crazy, but just completely disregarded.
Dismissive.
Yeah. Not even just like we're taking you to the hospital for some pills.
Yeah.
Like completely like go away, crackhead is essentially what they were
saying. I'm going to leave you here.
Yeah.
To fend for yourself.
Horrifying.
Yeah. I was just like, damn, girl.
What a queen, though.
Really? Like she still managed to survive after all that.
All right. On that note,
yes,
let's go ahead and take a quick break and then we'll be back for our final intentions for the week. We're going to get these segments down.
We got this. It's fine.
In 10 episodes, we're going to be rolling them off. No
intentions. We're back.
We're back.
Oh, shit.
So we wanted to introduce kind of like a final send off thought.
Our conclusion. Our
final thoughts that we're calling our like intentions for the episode. So for me, I think my intentions, it's kind of more abstract, not necessarily about this topic, but more about just the podcast in general and our creative pursuits. I think I'm already setting those intentions because we've set a much different kind of pacing for this episode that I think felt really nice and kept it nice and short and sweet.
I'd say my more literal intention related to this would be I should not jump to conclusion with movies as much.
That is a great intention.
I try and read things because there's certain things I don't want to see.
Yeah.
But I would have missed out on a pretty good movie that I do recommend.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because we both look up different things for movies, like Marvel movies. I'm like up until 2 days ahead, I want to know every spoiler, everything, because I'm like, there's a possibility it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
There's that it's giving me that extra knowledge. I can go into something.
Yeah.
But for a horror movie, I'm like, does the aesthetic look like I'm interested?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm watching. I want no spoilers.
Yeah.
Whereas you are like the complete opposite. You'll go into like a Marvel movie not knowing anything about
nothing.
It. Not even knowing what we're watching. Just showing up being like, I know a character's name.
Like,
is it the one in the title?
As long as Jacob's with me, I can ask all the questions I want.
The horror movies, you're like, I need to make sure there's no titty milk.
No titty milk. No eye trauma. No milk in the eyes. But I don't regret seeing it.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was really good.
It was good.
And with that, the episode's over.
Thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you so much for joining us next week. Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some colonialism. Some pardoned turkeys. sides. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Food, by then. Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.